Football fans, the wait is over. Playoff football is back in action this weekend, and now with Bet365, you can get in on it too. Starting Thursday, Bet365 is offering to double your money with a super boost on one or more passing yards in the Denver versus Buffalo game. That's right, all it takes is one single yard. So even if your team doesn't start strong, you can. Only with Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Select markets only. Minimum, maximum, wager, and fixed boost percentage applies. Super boost for single bets only. T&Cs and restrictions apply.
Welcome to Takeology with your three boys in the lab, so you can do the cooking. It's been a minute since we've been here, but we are back. And now we don't have the full crew, but we do have the Matt McDonald in the building. Hope you're having a good weekend. Hopefully you got some wins in fantasy. But boy, do we have some news and some football to talk about today. Matt, how are you doing, buddy?
Doing good, man. How are you?
I'm good. A little stuffed up. Allergy season, you know what I mean? Getting cold around here, I guess, huh?
Get out of Texas, dude. It's bad Maybe for
it's,
you.
It's the dust, and it's the just the, it's dry out here.
Mm-hmm.
My elbows crack, you know?
Feels real good. Feels real good down here in Arkansas.
I don't know, dude. I honestly, I'd like to go that way, so we'll see. Maybe sometime soon here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, we might as well jump right into it because I think everybody knows. But we'll start with our lab report. And really the biggest news here, Cam Akers has gone to the Vikings. Huge news. No, not really. But Cam Akers has signed with the Vikings, or he got traded away from the Houston Texans. Not really nothing crazy. But it does say something to Aaron Jones. Do you think this is an upgrade? Or do you think? What do you think this is, Matt?
I really don't know. Like you said, it could mean that Aaron Jones' injury is more significant than people think, or it could mean that their backup Ty Chandler just sucks.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, they're a good team, and you always want to add depth. And Cam Akers has been on the Vikings before; he's familiar with the system. So it could just be the fact that they're adding another or a second option that's better than Chandler, or it could mean that Jones is in store to miss more time than expected. But he did practice. He did have a limited practice on Monday. That's why this is a tad confusing. It kind of makes me think it's more just a depth move, but you never really know. The injury could be worse than expected, so we'll kind of have to wait and see on that.
Yeah, I guess it's just really an insurance thing. But once we get the report, we'll really kind of know at the end of the day, right?
Uh-huh.
Cooper Kupp is expected. Now, expected and might, it's a big difference there, I guess, and if he actually will. Cooper Kupp is expected to be back in week 7, which is huge for the Rams. I don't know about Puka Nacua. I don't know where he's standing at in terms of injury recovery. But if they can get Cooper Kupp back, what a big upgrade in terms of their receiver room. And honestly, Jordan Whittington has done a good job. But, I mean, we want Cooper Kupp back in football. I mean, it's kind of expected.
I mean, it makes Matthew Stafford at least relevant as a streaming option for you. And it's just more exciting to watch the Rams when they have a receiver like Cooper Kupp. So. Oh, yeah. We're hoping for him to come back, but it's scary with him because he could come back and re-injure himself just immediately. So you kind of got to take it with a grain of salt with Cooper Kupp.
It's kind of like the CMC stuff where you're like, you want him to come back, but he could definitely get injured again just because of who they are. Also, Nick Chubb should be good for this weekend as well. Really, and TJ Hawkinson. I mean, there's a lot of guys coming from these injuries that could make a huge difference to a fantasy team and just an NFL in general. I don't know. They may wait because I know the Vikings have a Thursday game right after Sunday, so they may just wait till the Thursday game. But Detroit reunion or revenge game, I guess, would be for TJ Hawkinson. So that'd be cool to see. What do you think, Nick Chubb? I mean, I know we'll get to the Amari Cooper situation, but do you think Nick Chubb can be like anywhere near what he once was?
I don't know. It's tough to say. Nick Chubb is almost a superhuman. He's came back from two brutal leg injuries, and he came back to what he used to be. So this would be a third time here. And Jerome Ford did get hurt last game, and what's the backup's name? Deontay Foreman.
Deontay Foreman.
Deontay got most of the work last game. So if Nick Chubb is back, with Ford being hurt, he could be thrust into a bigger role than we expected. We kind of thought it'd be a 50-50 with him and Ford starting off. But if Ford is hurt and not going to be there next game, and with the departure of Cooper, and their passing game was already bad, but with Cooper leaving, this could be a just full-on running team, which they already run the ball quite a bit. But without Cooper, they could be a full running team. And if Chubb comes back to what he was, he could be a guy that wins you a league. It just depends. We don't know what he's going to come back as, so we kind of have to wait and see.
I'd love to see him come back to full strength. I mean, that's kind of tough, but it would be great to see Nick Chubb, as a Georgia fan especially, to come back out there and to do something good there. But, yeah, Amari Cooper is no longer a Cleveland Browns. He is a Buffalo Bill. I mean, this is kind of new. I didn't expect this. I know this is hard for you to talk about as a Chiefs fan, because we really thought he was going there. I mean, I think a lot of people did. Maybe not the Bills. It's just a weird place for him. I don't know. I didn't see the Bills making moves. What do you think about this?
I think it's great for the Bills. I mean, I think we've seen the past couple of weeks their offense has looked pretty bad, and they squeaked out a win against the Jets. And I think they really needed the number one receiver. Shakir is about the only guy on that team that can separate and produce for Josh Allen. So I think they needed kind of a number one guy, and that's what they got for Cooper. He hasn't lost a step. He just wasn't getting catchable targets from Deshaun Watson. So I think this will really open up the offense to what it was with Stephon Diggs. And I don't think they'll be as full of a passing offense as they have been in the past, but I think this will make defenses worry a heck of a lot more about the skill players that the Bills have, because besides Shakir, you weren't really worried about anybody on that team. Coleman hasn't really made the impact you were hoping if you're a Bills fan. And then Curtis Samuel has just been a nobody, really. We kind of expected him to at least be relevant, and he's not. It's been stuff around the line of scrimmage, and he's just not been used as a guy that's beneficial towards fantasy production. So I think this will be great. If he goes into the role that Stephon was in when he was at Buffalo, this is a guy that you got Cooper late in draft. So this would be amazing for teams that have Cooper on there. And if he produces well this first game he's there, he might be a guy you trade for, and you could probably get him at least pretty cheap for a number one receiver. I mean, he's got a top five quarterback thrown to him. So if you can get a really good receiver like Cooper for cheap, I would do it in a heartbeat.
I definitely think it is an upgrade in terms of quarterback and team just in general, because, man, the Browns were just so bad. I'm so confused on the coach decision to continue to start Deshaun Watson. I mean, they continue game after game to say he's our starter. I just don't understand it.
It's all about the money they gave him. They're trying to justify the contract they gave him, and it's just not going to – I mean – You made your bed in that one. You guaranteed him all the money, and now you're stuck with him. Yeah. The only way they could even possibly get rid of him is if they traded him to a team along with a first-round pick. Like, that's the only way a team would take him. And even then, they probably wouldn't. So they're stuck with it. Honestly, they're probably playing him because they want better draft position. I mean, they traded away Cooper, so they're probably just tanking. And that's so if you have any of the Cleveland receivers – You're out of luck, basically. Yeah.
I guess I would say Jerry Jeudy's a name to guess throw out there. It's not exciting, but he's now the number one guy on this team. So, I mean, David Njoku will be coming back, and maybe they can turn around in terms of different games, but matchup dependent kind of thing. But you're not a guy you're just looking for. But Amari Cooper, look out for him. I think this is huge for the Bills in terms of football and just fantasy. I do think Dalton Kincaid kind of has not been a factor of this team, it seems, and I think that Cooper coming will actually affect that negatively. But we'll see how this offense continues to look. I mean, James Cook didn't even play on Monday, and they still pulled through against the Jets, so they could continue to increase. But the biggest news that we wanted to touch on that everybody is talking about, Davante Adams has gone to the Jets. I'm not a big fan of this. I mean, I don't like it for Garrett Wilson. I think I know Avery has a different opinion on this, so I want to see what you think. I think Garrett Wilson actually kind of decreases a ton because Davante Adams has gone there. Obviously, I think now he has the cornerback two treatment on whatever team they go to, which is crazy for Garrett Wilson. But Aaron Rodgers is a guy that loves to have the people he likes around him, right? I think of Randall Cobb. He pulled him everywhere he went, right? I mean, he pulled him to the Jets too, I think, for a little bit at least there. Alan Lazard, he loves to throw the ball to him. We've seen it time and time again. That makes him at least somewhat relevant to put in it sometimes as a streamer. I mean, what do you think about this? Do you think this affects Garrett Wilson negatively or positively?
I'm kind of in the same mindset as you. Yeah, a lot of people are saying, oh, Garrett Wilson's going to have the number two cornerback on him now. But this is a guy, Garrett Wilson, who was averaging like around 8+ targets a game. There was a couple games ago, he had 23 targets. And he's still not producing at the level you would want him to, even with 23 targets. And like you said, Rodgers loves Lazard. He's going to throw the ball to Lazard regardless. You have Breece Hall, who's taking – he's taking a lot of those balls as well because he's going to catch it out of the backfield. He's one of their most explosive players. And like you already touched on, Rodgers loves Davante Adams. And he's going to pepper him with targets. This is great if you're a Davante Adams owner. I think he's going to be pretty darn good the rest of the season. But I just think this is a downgrade because he's going to have a lot less volume. I don't care if he does have the number two corner on him. A lot of these balls are going to start going to Davante Adams' way. And I think for Garrett Wilson to succeed, he just needs a lot of passes thrown to him. And I think his volume is going to go way down. And I also just don't think Aaron Rodgers is that good anymore. If they don't protect him, this team is not good. He gets the ball out within 2 seconds. It's going to be a little short gain, but he can't have any explosive plays because his tackles aren't good enough to block for him, and he cannot move as a 41-year-old. He just can't. You saw the game against the Bills. He got blown up like two or three times where he was taking hits that I didn't know if he's going to need a walker to get out of the stadium. It's just not – I don't think it's a very good team. So I don't think you should be excited about this move if you're a Garrett Wilson owner because his volume is going to go down. I think that's the bottom line.
I completely agree with you, really. I know Avery kind of is on the opposite side there that he thinks it's better for Garrett Wilson because he gets that number two treatment. But it's like the Texans, you know. Tank Dell last year was a fantastic receiver. And we've seen it with Nico Collins out. They had a great game. That Tank Dell kind of came back to what he was last year. It is so hard to, at least in terms of fantasy, keep up three guys on a team. It's like the 49ers. You know, one of them might do well, but all three of them can't. And I think because of the way Aaron Rodgers is and just had the flashes of his age and the team that he's on, I think it affects Garrett Wilson in a bad way. So, yeah, I definitely – that's where I'm at on it.
Yeah, if I was a Garrett Wilson owner, I wouldn't be ecstatic about it. There's a lot of mouths to feed here. He's going to pass it to Davante a ton. He loves Lazard. He's going to continue to throw it to him. And then Breece Hall, he commands targets. Like, if for them to have these explosive plays, they get those little screen passes to Breece, and that's a lot of their offense. They just don't have anything downfield. Garrett Wilson hasn't had a catch over 30 yards within this whole season. And I don't think that's going to change. I mean, and Devontae's a 31-year-old receiver. He's an aging receiver. I don't think it makes this team much better. I think this was kind of a pull the emergency hatch for the Jets. They're just trying to save their season. And I don't even think this is a playoff team. So I don't know. It's a downgrade for me, but I understand how people could think that it's an upgrade because he's going to have the cornerback two on him. But
yeah,
I don't know. It's not an upgrade in my opinion, but I can understand why you think it would be.
Do you think it would be a good time to say maybe I should trade Garrett Wilson as somebody who may have him on his team before you see how it affects the team?
It's a tough place to be because you could trade him and possibly get more back for him. But you never know. I could be completely wrong, and the cornerback two on him just gets blown up. But I don't think that Garrett Wilson is the one that we expected coming into the season. I don't think he's a great receiver, don't get me wrong, but I don't think he's one of those alpha receivers who can just break a game. I think we would have seen that when he's getting 23 targets a game. I think we would have seen that already. If Ja'Marr Chase gets 23 targets, he's going to have 40 points. Yeah. I don't think he's as good as we made him out to be. I mean, he's kind of underwhelmed. He's been a good receiver, but he's underwhelmed for the expectations we had with him coming into the NFL. And I know a lot of that's quarterback play, but this offensive line is getting no better. So the protection will get no better. So I don't think it's a upgrade. And I would personally trade him, but that unknown is there. So right. This could be a fantastic rest of the season for him. It's just, like I said, an unknown. But if he has two games in a row where Devontae's getting everything, Breece Hall's getting everything, then I think his value is going to drop a ton.
Oh, yeah. So, you're stuck with him at that point, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you have him in Dynasty, obviously keep him. That's a whole different story. But redraft, it's going to be tough to decide what to do with him.
Yeah. It definitely depends on how you feel about the situation, for sure. But that's the biggest news, and we will see how that affects the Jets. I mean, they did just lose. What's their record right now? They're not looking too hot.
They're 2-4, I believe.
They could turn around. They definitely could. But looking too good.
If they lose next week, they're going to have to, like, win out.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be a tough road. I just don't see them making the playoffs. I mean, they're behind the Dolphins right now who don't have Tua, which that is embarrassing. So, I don't know. It's going to be a tough road for them to make the playoffs.
We'll see. They at least made a move to try to do something, I guess, you know.
Bet on a 41-year-old quarterback. That seems to work out quite often.
Not so far. I bet Tom Brady could come do it too. But
Tom Brady is a different story. But other than that, there's no one.
Drew Brees. Probably not. No, yeah. Not at his age. But it is what it is. Speaking of old quarterbacks, so we're going to jump into our Week 6 recap. We're going to talk a little bit about my boy Kirk Cousins, who continues to ball out. This team is just unique. I think, honestly, I mean, you correct me. Tell me what you think about this. I think he has figured out his personnel. Those first few games, it was like Kirk Cousins doesn't look the same that he used to. But he's kind of clicking. I mean, he only had 12 fantasy points, but they did real good against a bad Panthers team. And the Panthers actually didn't do too bad either. But the biggest thing I think to point out here, Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier both had a pretty good game in terms of fantasy. 24 fantasy points and 19.3 fantasy points. Tyler Allgeier actually had 3 more carries at 18 than Bijan. So, I mean, this backfield is kind of unique. We didn't see the Darnell Mooney game like normal. They kind of ran it more often in this one. But I'll let you touch on the Panthers, even though I'm excited about my boy Deontay Johnson. Do you think this backfield on the Falcons, though, do you think it really still is a split backfield? Or is it based on kind of who's getting the work more, you know?
I don't necessarily think it's a split backfield because Bijan gets a lot more work in the passing game. So that kind of evens it out. But Tyler Allgeier is just straight up a good player. Yeah. Like, they have to play him. It's for an NFL team, you're going to play your good players. And Tyler Allgeier is good. So you can't just keep him off the field. And Bijan is really good at running outside the tackles. But Tyler Allgeier is good at running inside. So I think they kind of use him depending on what play is called. Excuse me, but in the passing game, Bijan is still great. And I think they've shown you that both of these guys can be productive if their offense is clicking. So I don't think you should be worried about either one. I just, again, we kind of touched on it last week. I think you just had to kind of lower your expectations for Bijan. We thought he was going to be kind of the Christian McCaffrey, which this game was phenomenal. I'm not taking that away from him. But I think you just, with how they split this backfield up, it might be 60-40 Bijan's way, but Tyler Allgeier is going to get a lot of carries. So, Bijan is not the Christian McCaffrey type, but he is a really good running back still. So, I think if you have either one of these, you have to be excited about them. If you have Tyler Allgeier, you got him for nothing. So you're ecstatic about that. But Bijan, he's really good. He's just not to the level we thought he would be. And like you said, Kirk played good. There was no need to pass this game. So he was kind of underwhelming in the fantasy aspect of it. But from an offensive perspective, this team is rolling right now. And I think if you have any of their options on the offense, you have to be excited about it. Drake London is looking great, which we kind of, I mean, me especially, I don't know about you, but I had my doubts coming into the season about Drake London, and it seemed to be proving true at the beginning of the season, but now he's rattled off a couple great games. And Darnell Mooney, he'll continue to be a good flex option. This just wasn't a game where passing was really needed. So if you have any of these Falcons players, I think you can be very excited about them. And don't get me wrong, they were playing the Panthers. So yeah, I don't want to go too crazy. But I think
4-2 though.
Yeah, they're a good team, and one of their losses came against the Chiefs. So that's the best team in the league. Not even trying to say, you know,
it's
what I
true
mean. Though.
Right now, it's true.
Yeah, so I think you can be excited about this team. I think they have great potential to win the division. So I think they're going to keep rolling. So if you have any of these guys, you have to be excited. Besides Kyle Pitts, I'm still not a believer in Kyle. He did have an okay game here. I just don't think he's going to be consistent enough to where you want to put him in your lineup every week.
No, yeah, I think in terms of like the pass catchers of this team, you can kind of tell, even Ray-Ray McCloud, Kirk Cousins really favors these receivers, which it's so interesting how great of an athlete Kyle Pitts is, how he just has not thrived. I mean, is this the end of his contract there?
Yeah, this is his last year.
I'm 100% sure he goes somewhere else. No doubt in my mind. I think just because of how Atlanta has panned out for him, he goes somewhere else. I think he may do better somewhere else, maybe just because Atlanta's not for him. I don't know. But Drake London, Darnell Mooney, and Ray-Ray McCloud, plus your running backs, they all have done real well in terms of just pass catching. So I don't see him getting better, if that makes sense, unless there's a touchdown in there. And if he's not good in the tight ends we have this year, you don't want to touch him at all.
His targets are just so far and few between. Like, you never can count on like a 5 targets per game basis. So it's kind of just dependent on a big play. And that's not really what you want for a fantasy player, unless you're just looking for upside. But this guy is boom or bust if I've ever seen it. So I wouldn't want him in my starting lineup, but if you need the upside, I could see why you would. But go ahead and talk about Deontay. I know you're just eating away.
Listen, somebody in our league dropped Deontay Johnson. And I had faith. Well, I didn't have faith with Bryce Young. I understand why he was dropped. It was real bad.
Let's say, could you see the future?
Andy Dalton, though, baby. Let me tell you, the Red Rocket, I'm all in. Him and Sam Darnold. I mean, they're just – I love it. Obviously, they're not a good team in general. But Andy Dalton is throwing the ball to Deontay Johnson, and that's the scheme of this team. And I'm just riding the train. I got him off of a waiver, and he's done great for me. And that's sad to say in my receiver room, but he's done really good. He had 22 fantasy points, I think, one game. Then in the game, it was 17. This game, he had 16 fantasy points, 6 of 10, 78 yards and a touchdown. 10 targets for a receiver in fantasy is fantastic. I will say Xavier Legette, I know Adam Thielen's still out, and I think he's still kind of recovering. I don't know how much longer. But if this team becomes heavy on the offensive side in terms of passing, Xavier Legette's also looked really good out there. He was 3 for 4, 23 yards and a touchdown. That doesn't sound good, but just the fact that he's getting work in the offense, he could be somebody to look out for. Not that you need to be – you'd be hurting if you're looking for Xavier Legette. But just wanted to throw it out there. I want to throw it back to – do what?
He could be a stash, though. I see what you're saying.
Definitely what I think. I mean, you never know. And it's something to look out for, I think, in terms of waiver. Xavier Legette's looked good. I think he had a good game last week as well. I did want to throw it back to you so you can talk about Chuba Hubbard, because you kind of let go of him. But he has looked really good. He is a good running back. He just is. And it shocks me to see him play. I watched this game, and, man, he looked good. He was just eating him up for a while there.
No, he is a legitimately good running back. I wouldn't have traded him if it wasn't for Brooks coming off IR, or he was on PUP, I think. But it looks like Brooks is going to be there this week or next, and that's why I traded him, because I wanted to trade him while he was hot. And I do understand I gave away like 2 or 3 weeks of great production, but as Brooks comes back, this workload is just going to be eaten and taken away from him. And I think it's either going to be a split backfield where it's kind of like Atlanta, where it's 50-50, or the Lions, for example, or it becomes where the rookie is so good that he just takes Chuba completely out of the equation. And I would have been more confident in Chuba if it wasn't for the fact that they took this rookie with a high pick in the draft. And if you're drafting someone that high, you expect them to come in and make plays for your team. And he was fantastic at Texas. So I think this guy's going to have a lot of juice. I'm not taking away from Chuba, because he's been great for you for fantasy, especially with how late he was drafted. I think he's not the future plan here. And I think he's going to kind of be taken over by the young rookie here pretty soon. But they are going to probably ease him into the game, I mean. So you might have a couple good more weeks for Chuba, but it's going to get to the spot where you're nervous to start him because you don't know how many carries the rookie's going to take away from him. So I think it's kind of just a situation where I tried to get ahead of the storm and trade him before the rookie came back.
I think you did good. You sold him high. What sucks is the injury came to Nico Collins, but yeah. It was a good trade, honestly, on your part, I think. Although Chuba Hubbard, if you did draft him where he was, he's performing for you.
It was a great pick.
Oh, yeah, 100%. This year's just been – I feel like this year's been flipped around. It's just been a weird year of football in terms of
fantasy. No one really expected Chuba to come in here and play as good as he has. But, I mean, he wasn't as good until Andy Dalton came in. Andy's kind of changed his whole offense for him. So that was fantastic if you had Chuba. There was one more thing I wanted to kind of talk about is Jatavion Sanders is their rookie tight end on this team. Yes. And he had 7 targets this game. He didn't break the doors off by any means, but he had 5 catches for 49 yards. And with the state of tight ends this year, if he continues to get 7 targets or even 5 targets a game, if he's going to get that level of attention thrown to him, Andy Dalton has proven he can support these guys in fantasy football. So he could be an option that is made known later in the season. So especially if you're in Dynasty, I'd kind of stash him and just see what he turns out to be. And if he continues the success, you might even look at him in redraft. But I just want to throw that out there. I don't think a lot of people know him, but he is good. He came from Texas, and he's a good player.
He was highly ranked in terms of tight ends, up there with Ben Sinnott too, which we haven't really seen much of him. But, yeah, I definitely agree. I tried to get him in our dynasty, but Mr. Matt McDonald here beat me to it. So,
well, there's just – the only reason I say that is there's no other tight end on this team that's going to take snaps away from him. And his snaps have kind of gone up week to week. So it's just something to watch out for. It's more dynasty, but – if he continues to play well, he might be relevant in redraft as well. If you're in a 12-team league, especially.
Yeah, definitely a good name to throw out there, because Andy Dalton is throwing this ball. He is, and they're letting him.
He's going to throw it. He may throw picks, but he's going to throw it.
They're losing now anyways. I hope they don't put Bryce Young in. That'd be the worst, really, for fantasy.
If they continue to lose, I don't know why they wouldn't just keep Andy in. If they win off a couple of games, then they might take him out. But if he keeps losing, there's no reason to take him out.
Lose, Panthers, for my sake, please. As long as Deontay Johnson does good. All right, this was the Thursday night game. We didn't get to talk about it. We've been some busy men. You know what I mean? We're out here grinding in real life, too. So, but we're back today. We're going to talk about the 49ers and Seahawks, okay? Do you think – Avery said this before this game, and I think it was kind of – in some ways relevant. Do you think the Seahawks are posers? I mean, they played some bad teams to start off. This is their first true test. I mean, they lost the game 36-24. What do you think? Kenneth Walker balled out, though, we'll say.
Yeah, it's kind of tough to say. They did play the Broncos, Patriots, and Dolphins to start the season. So that's a very easy schedule. The Giants is a bad loss. I will say that. I mean, the Giants have a good defense, but their offense is terrible, and they allowed them to score 29 points. So that is a bit embarrassing. But other than that, they played the Lions, and they also played the Niners. So that's a tough slate to. I mean, the Seahawks aren't fantastic, but they're a good team. I think they'll kind of right the ship here. They're not bad, but they're not one of the top tier teams. Geno Smith, he's a good starting quarterback, but he's really streaky. So you kind of saw that this game. He was struggling. The offense as a whole was kind of struggling. DK did nothing. Jackson Smith and Jigba, he had four catches, five?
Five on nine targets.
Yeah, so, I mean, he put up some numbers, but nothing, like, incredible. The only guy that really did anything relevant for you was the Bone Zone.
Ridiculous.
He played a good game. I mean, he wasn't good rushing the ball, but he had eight catches. So that, I mean, if you're in a PPR league, that right there is great.
It hurt me. It hurt me bad.
Yeah. So I don't think they're bad. I'm not going to say they're posers. I think they've just had a pretty rough three-game slate. I mean, they got their teeth kicked in by the Lions, and then they had to play the Giants was just kind of a trap game. I don't think the Giants are as bad as people think. With that, if they had a kicker on the team, their record would be a lot better right now. So I think it's more so just a tough slate that they have played recently.
That's fair. Yeah, Kenneth Walker really killed me there. And did you start Jackson Smith and Jigba?
Yeah. It was like a 6-point game, so not a killer, but not a game that you're excited about. I mean, you are excited about the targets, though. I mean, they are chucking the ball on Seattle. I think he's averaging 41 pass attempts a game.
He has the most yards, I think, right now.
Yeah, I mean, he is chucking the game. He threw 52 times against the Niners. So the volume is there. You just kind of have to – he's had a lot of – Jackson Smith the Jigba has had a lot of targets in the red zone. So it's just a matter of coming down with these targets.
We've got a trade question here. I know this is interrupting our – recap, but I think this is a very interesting question for one of our viewers. And I'll tell you what I think first, and then you kind of give me your insight here. How do you feel about Amon-Ra for Drake London straight up? Listen, I know this is in terms of the last few games.
That is spicy.
It's tough. That's tough. I would say the person who gets Drake London wins right now just because Kirk Cousins is looking good. They didn't even pass that much, really, in terms of this last game because they didn't have to against Carolina. And Drake London had 16 fantasy points. Like, he is the number one guy. I think because Darnell Mooney has finally emerged as a good number two receiver, that Drake London's window has just opened to be a fantastic guy out there at Atlanta. Amon-Ra, the reason I would say I would take Drake London in that trade is because Amon-Ra, Jameson Williams has soaked up targets. And, I mean, he has some where it's boom-bust in terms of two, but Sam Laporta still hasn't got the work much. And he's got two running backs. Jahmyr Gibbs out of the backfield is nasty. And Amon-Ra's never been known for touchdowns. He's had a few this year. But I'd take Drake London, personally. So, I mean, what do you think about that?
It's definitely a tough one because just off name value, you're saying immediately Amon-Ra.
Right.
But if you actually look into it, Drake London's the number five receiver this year. And Amon-Ra is the 20th. Yeah. And I don't think it's because Amon-Ra has gotten significantly worse over this season. I really just think it's a matter of how this team is playing. Their running backs are phenomenal this year. They have been amazing. They are running the ball a ton. And when you have two good running backs like they do, that's going to take up a lot of the game. And they don't care. If they're winning, they're going to be rushing the ball. And like you said, the emergence of Jameson Williams has definitely hurt Sam Laporta, and it's also definitely hurt Amon-Ra. He's been averaging like that 8 to 9 targets a game, which is good. But Drake London has been averaging 10-plus targets these last couple games. And the Falcons only are getting better, in my opinion. And I think they both throw the ball a ton. They're both explosive offenses. But I think Drake London has a more clear-cut number one role than Amon-Ra just because of how many weapons the Lions have. So personally, I know if we started the season where we're bringing this up, I wouldn't even I wouldn't even say
it'd be stupid.
I wouldn't even consider it. Yeah. But how this season has gone, I think you saw last year the touchdowns for Amon-Ra. It was kind of an outlier. We don't expect him to have those touchdowns like he did last year. So I would probably say Drake London. It sounds nasty coming out of my mouth, but I would probably say Drake London's the better asset between the two.
It's crazy to say that, but I feel like it's a win in terms of getting Drake London right now. I agree. The Falcons only get better. I think so.
I'm wondering if he is the one trading Amon-Ra or Drake London.
I don't know.
If he has Drake London, I would keep him.
I agree. And also, you have to look at your team as a whole. This is one for one, so I don't think it affects it too much. Really, you either win it or you lose it at the end of the season. It's not a big difference here. But Drake London's looking hot right now. And just in position rank alone, when you said 5 to 20, I didn't know it was that big of a difference.
It really is shocking. It's almost like without a touchdown, Amon-Ra he's a good receiver, not great. And Drake London, he's getting the targets to where he's going to be a great receiver if this continues.
And they use him all on the field. Darnell Mooney, although he's been like big in that team, it's elevated Drake London, whereas I think Jameson Williams has kind of taken away from Amon-Ra. So,
well, on the Falcons, it's Drake London and it's Mooney. That's basically it in the receiving game. You mix in Bijan there. But on the Lions, you got Gibbs, you got Montgomery, you got Laporta, Jameson Williams. I mean, you have four other options that are all good at catching. So I just think I think you have a higher floor with Drake London than you do Amon-Ra.
Anyways, Lord have mercy. We got some haters in here today. We won't even check the chat section. We'll get back to this recap real quick. The 49ers, I'm not even going to talk about the running backs. Jordan Mason hurt his shoulder, but I think he should be good to go. They even kind of let him run another snap after halftime. Hopefully he's okay. George Kittle, what a game. 2 touchdowns. I mean, the 49ers, it is what it is. They're going to have good games and bad games. So there's not really too much to say on this side. You kind of expect either a boom or a bust, I think, from all these guys. Honestly, Brandon Ayuk has been a dud this year. I had a guy try to trade for him for Josh Jacobs, and I couldn't even do it just because Brandon Ayuk's been awful. So there's not too much on that side. What do you think?
It's tough because Kyle Shanahan kind of keys in on one guy per game. Right. You saw a couple games ago it was Brandon Ayuk. He had a fantastic game. And then you see this game, he does terrible. So it's tough with these Niners guys because one of them's going to have a huge game and another one's going to lose out because of it. And Jordan Mason, he's questionable for this next game. So if he's not out there, I would at least look at Isaac Grindo because I know he wasn't super efficient, but he broke off that long run. He seems to be explosive. And if he's the starting running back for this team, I think they've proven that any running back can be effective in this offense. So if Mason's out, I would pick up Grindo in a heartbeat.
Yeah. You could probably get back in that backfield and get you some yards.
I'd probably have like 50 or something.
Whoa, he's up, dude.
No, dude, one hit and they'd be putting me in the hospital.
Yeah, no, Lord, we all would be hurt. No kidding. 50 yards is hefty, though. I like it. I respect it. All right, Bears versus Jaguars. Next game on the list here. Bears pulled through. They're 4-2. I did not realize that. I just looked 4-2 for the Bears.
Man, my Caleb Williams take, it just gets better and better, doesn't it?
Ever since you said something about Caleb Williams, he has turned it around. I will lucky. Give you.
Avery's lucky he's not on this pod right now.
Scrub. He's doing something, probably brushing somebody's teeth right about now. But I tell you, I Caleb Williams is looking good, dude. I knew that if they were going to let him throw so much that he was going to do something, but who would have thought DeAndre Swift also, the man we were talking a minute ago, I think if one of our podcasts, is it time to give up on this guy? And if you did, you feel stupid because he is just game after game after game looked so good. I don't know if it's because Caleb Williams is doing well or if he's just carrying in that backfield. I think because they stopped giving the ball to Khalil Herbert finally. About time. But Keenan Allen had two touchdowns. That's really kind of what made him fantasy relevant in this game. The Jaguars, really the biggest thing is Travis Etienne is hurt, and it's a week-to-week issue. So, I mean, talk to this matchup for me. I know the Tank Bigsby didn't look good, but he might be a good waiver wire pick if he's still out there.
Yeah, if you're a Caleb Williams owner in Dynasty, you're ecstatic. If you have him in redraft, you're ecstatic. It looks like this team's just getting better and better. Caleb Williams' stats have gotten better every single week, along with his completion percentage, his quarterback rating. Just everything has gotten better. You all right?
Yeah, I get a little cough there a little now.
But if you're a Bears receiver, you're happy because Caleb Williams is playing at a really high level. Keenan Allen, like you said, he had the two touchdowns, which kind of made him relevant, but those were both in the red zone. Other than that, he really didn't do a whole lot. DJ Moore, he did have a touchdown pass that he just went down before he crossed the pylon. So if he had that touchdown, you're pretty happy with him. I think DJ Moore is going to be a guy that's going to be really good for the rest of the season. If you could trade for him, I would. I tried, but with the Bears at the level they're playing right now, I think the price is just going to keep going up for DJ. But if you can get him for cheap, I would. And like you were saying with DeAndre Swift, I think this team has gotten better and their passing offense has gotten better, that teams are more worried about stopping Caleb Williams. So the lanes for DeAndre Swift have opened up, as well as this offensive line has gotten better. So I think DeAndre is going to be a good running back for the rest of the season. Roshan Johnson was getting the goal line touches, and he still kind of is, but DeAndre Swift has proven that he can also take care of it. So I think DeAndre is just going to get better and better. And on the Jags side.
Before you go to the Jags, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No,
I almost forgot Cole Kmet. He's had two games this year where he's done something. But if Caleb Williams on this team continues to get better and better, or even just sustain what he's done, Cole Kmet, I know he's on our – I believe he's out there in terms of on our waiver wire. He's a guy as tight end to look out for because this team will – or they're on bye. That's why he's not popping up. So it would be a good week to sneak on him, to pull him in, because I don't know who they play off the bye, but he's a guy that's been getting work, and rookies are known for throwing to tight ends. So I wanted to say that real quick for you. Jags.
You're 100% right. That slipped my mind. Because they are on the bye, I think a lot of people are going to forget about him. But he's been a guy that's consistently gotten targets over the year. The touchdowns just haven't been there. But I think he is going to be one of the most consistent receivers on this team in general. So if you don't have a tight end or you're kind of struggling in that position, I would 100% use your number one priority on him this week. If even though he's on a bye, you can just stash him on your bench for a week. He's 100% worth that. And then going to the Jaguars, they're just a legit bad team. It sucks, but they're just bad. And like you were saying with Travis Etienne, he got an injury. He's going to be a week-to-week guy, and even when he's in there, he hasn't looked great. And it was really odd this game. You saw D'Ernest Johnson get quite a few carries for the player he is. It was a bit odd. It kind of seemed like Tank may have had an injury this game because they just weren't playing him. It wasn't necessarily his fault about the bad production. He just wasn't on the field. So with them being in London, the reports really haven't came back on injuries to see if there is something there. But that's something to keep your eye on, because if he's hurt, D'Ernest Johnson could be a guy you pick up. Now, this Jaguars team is bad, so I don't know if I would. But just putting that out there. And then with Evan Ingram, he came back and was the same Evan Ingram he was last year. He's going to get a ton of targets, and he's going to have a ton of yards. I think he's going to be a pretty consistent tight end. He's just Trevor Lawrence's safety blanket. I think he's a guy that you can trust for the rest of the year. And then with Christian Kirk, Gabe Davis, Brian Thomas, this Bears defense is legit pretty good. So I wasn't expecting anything great from any of these guys. Gabe Davis did have two touchdowns. I think you can kind of just forget that. I don't think that's going to happen on a consistent basis. But Brian Thomas, he had one of the best corners on him in the league this game. So I would kind of throw this performance away. You knew they were a good defense coming into it, so you couldn't have expected a ton from him. But he's going to be a good receiver the rest of the year.
100%. Yeah. We also had this Bears defense is legit. I think people are kind of forgetting really that. But they are for real. So the fact that these guys did what they did against this defense is pretty solid. Before I go to the next game, though, Mac Jones. Look out for the guy. 1 for 1 for 6 yards, dude. I'm telling you, it might be time to put him in.
Shut up.
No, I'm just kidding. I like Mac Jones a little bit, not because he's from Alabama, because I hated the guy there, but it is what it is.
He was in the same Pro Bowl as Tyler Huntley. It was a great year that year, huh?
Not panning out. Let me tell you, Tyler Huntley is not. I don't even want to hear the name Tyler Huntley.
Yeah,
Snoop. Ridiculous. Only Snoop I want to know about Snoop Dogg, okay? Tired of that guy. Ridiculous. All right, this actually was a good game, and I was shocked that the Commanders put 23 up on this defense. Maybe the hype of the Ravens defense needs to start to kind of scale it back, because I think this game and last game, they've been scored on quite a bit. The Bengals, I mean, I know they're a good offense, but they kind of balled out on them. And the Chiefs, obviously, the first game of the year has balled out. So this defense is not, I think, what it has been in the past. I mean, I don't know what you think about it, but just in terms of how these offenses have scored, I did not think this would be a close game. But Jaden Daniels continues, rookie of the year. I mean, honestly, as of right now, shoot, I think if he keeps up what he's doing, there's no doubt, there's no question he's rookie of the year. I don't think we even thought that was going to happen. But he had 20 fantasy points. Brian Thomas?
Brian Robinson.
Brian Robinson. I get so confused on that. But he was out this game, and Austin Eckler, I mean, he did okay for what he had. I don't know if he'll be back this next week, so Austin Eckler is a guy you can play. They play Carolina this next week, I believe. Man, to just see what the Falcons did in the run game against him, imagine Austin Eckler. The Austin Eckler out there, right? As everyone would be hyping me up with the Austin Eckler hype. But, dude, I want to talk about this name because I was full in on Chris Godwin, and I was full in on Terry McLaurin. Scary Terry finally is looking like a receiver number one for this team. The man is doing good. He has way more touchdowns than he had last year, I think, already. But he had 2 in this game, 6 for 7, 53 yards. There's no doubt in my mind I think he gets another 1,000-yard receiving this year. The guy is looking good. He's the number one on this team. 53 yards isn't nothing to necessarily sneeze about, but he had 7 targets. He's the number one. He's getting them, and he's a guy out there that, honestly, you could probably even sell high right now because I think the Commanders are at the peak of how good this offense will be. But, I mean, what do you think about this? I mean, it's tough to say, but he's the real deal.
Yeah, I was kind of on the mindset that they might come in here and kind of get blown out just because of how bad the Commanders' defense is. But even they look to be improving in some sort. But, yeah, you're right. The Ravens' defense isn't great. It's not what we have come to expect from the past years. I mean, it seems for as long as I can remember, the Ravens have had a good defense, which – this year, it's just not great. It is still a good defense. They're really good against stopping the run. Like you saw that this game, Austin Eckler did not have a good day running, but they are really susceptible to the passing game. I mean, they get thrown on every game, and that even is great for the running backs because they get a lot of dump offs because of how good the rushing attack defense is. But if you're a fan of the Commanders, you have to be ecstatic. They kept up with one of the best teams in the NFL this game. Jaden Daniels continues to look good. I think you're right. He is the front runner for Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think Caleb Williams is making a comeback on that. He's looking great as well. But Jaden Daniels has had a huge head start on him. So if he continues this level of play, he will win it. And you're right. Scary Terry has been phenomenal. He's getting the targets you want. He's getting the red zone looks that you want, and he's getting the deep shots. So I don't know what more you could ask. Jaden Daniels is one of the best deep throwers in the league, and I think that's going to continue the rest of the season. You mentioned you might sell high on him. I don't know if you'd even want to. He's been such a good receiver, and you got him way later in the draft than he probably should have gone in hindsight. But I think he's going to be a great rest of the season guy. I mean, he's projected right now for 1,200 yards for this season and over 10 touchdowns. If that's the case, that's a guy you're going to want to keep. And you're right, Austin Ekeler against the Panthers next week. He's going to be a smash play if Brian Robinson's out. So look at that for next week. And then on the Ravens side, I don't want to make too big of a deal about it, but Mark Andrews finally had a game. And it's not like he wasn't fantastic. He had I benched him. He had three catches, 66 yards, and a TD. I think our expectations that we had at the beginning of the season just have to be thrown away. This is a team now that has Derrick Henry, and he has proven to not have lost a step. He's probably the best rusher in the league right now. And I'll throw in the flag on that one. I was wrong. But I think this is an offense that just doesn't need Mark Andrews like they did in the seasons past. And him and Likely are going to continue to get pretty even targets. It's just kind of a matter of who gets the touchdown. And this game, it happened to be Mark Andrews. Next game, it'll probably be Isaiah Likely. But if you're a Mark Andrews owner, you have to at least be excited about this, because he looked like the old Mark Andrews. He was explosive on the targets he got. And he was a red zone target as well, which is what you want to see. So I just wanted to throw that out there, because I know the story about Mark Andrews has been very sad this year. So it was just good to see him produce for once. What more can you say about Derrick Henry? What can you say? This guy's been averaging over 20. Dude, he's been averaging over 20 carries a game, which if you have him, that's amazing. That's what you want from your starting running back on your team. He's going to have a touchdown or two every single game. He might set the touchdown record. I don't know. This guy is looking great. I really stuck my foot in my mouth after they played the Chiefs the first week. I really didn't. I think I underestimated how good the rushing defense is for the Chiefs, and I thought it was a product of Derrick Henry being old, but I really think it was just a product of the Chiefs defense being great. So Derrick Henry, he's a smash hit the rest of the year. You have to be ecstatic. Freaking Lamar Jackson's playing great. He's probably the front runner for the MVP right now, which I hate because I hate the Ravens, but he's playing great. And then Flowers has came on the past couple of weeks, and we were kind of talking about this earlier before we started the podcast. If it's going to be a competitive game, Flowers is going to have great production. He's going to have the targets. It's just when they get ahead, they just run the ball so much that it's just the targets aren't going to be there for him. But in competitive games, Flowers is going to be a great option for you.
100%. This next week they play Tampa Bay, and their defense is not that great. Their front line is not bad, truly. Like the front line of Tampa Bay defense, their run stop is not bad. But their secondary is pretty trash.
And that's going to be a shootout.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, Tampa Bay has an electric offense from the top to the bottom. I mean, Sean Tucker, we could talk about that all day. That's insane. They put up 51. But this is next week. I think it's another time to play some of these receivers in terms of Mark Andrews, maybe even, and Zay Flowers on this team, because it will be a shootout next week. So Derrick Henry is still going to get his. There's no question there. He gets goal line. So it's not like you don't want to not. You're going to start Derrick.
It pisses me off to all belief. I don't like the rate. It makes me so mad that teams weren't willing to pay Derrick Henry. I mean, I think he's playing for like $7 million. You're telling me the Cowboys wouldn't love to have him right now?
They look stupid.
Dude, they are putrid. Their team is just bad in general. And yeah. He wanted to play for Dallas, and they let him walk. They didn't care at all. They said, oh, we're good with freaking Ezekiel Elliott. It's so frustrating because it just makes the Chiefs pass so much harder, which we're going to win still. It's just frustrating that it's going to be that much harder.
Chiefs fans, they have a hard road. Oh, no. Man, how tough. I bet if we asked Avery the Steelers road. Speaking of Russell Wilson getting some first-team reps this week, dude. Steelers Nation, let's ride. We'll probably save that for when Avery's here so he can touch on that. But I don't know if it's better or not. That's a whole nother conversation. We've got a few more games through, so we're about to hit the hour mark. We'll touch on these games a little bit quicker, kind of just like highlight on the guys that did well. Because this next game, we're not even really going to want to talk about the Cardinals. other than Marvin Harrison kind of got hurt here. I believe what, head injury, was that what it was? Concussion kind of thing?
Yeah, it was a concussion.
So
what was with the concussions this week? Freaking everybody's getting a concussion. Mike Williams, Chris Olave, Marvin Harrison. I don't understand it.
It's just it's how the cookie crumbles, as they may say, I guess. I don't really know. It is what it is. But this is huge for the Cardinals that they lost Marvin Harrison. Obviously not for long, we hope, especially if it's a concussion, at least a week or two. But Michael Wilson might be out there on waivers. If Marvin Harrison is out and Kyler Murray can figure out how to throw this ball a little bit better and move this offense, this is a name to throw out there because I think he's next up in terms of offensively for waivers. But on the Green Bay side, Jordan Love, man, he is just – I have Josh Jacobs, and I think the reason it's hard to say Josh Jacobs has not gotten touchdowns is because they are such a good passing offense that they honestly don't even really need to run the ball. Even though he got 18 carries, I mean, 62 yards on the ground is awful for 18 carries. But Jordan Love threw for 4 touchdowns in this game. Just absolutely insane. Romeo Doubs is the one that came through, but this receiver core is kind of like the Texans. It's all spread out. So real quickly, touch on the Packers here. What do you think?
I mean, if you have any of these Packers players, you just have to be ecstatic right now. I did have something I kind of wanted to come to you and talk about because I know you have Josh Jacobs on your team.
Yeah.
I think he's a guy that is legitimately going to win some people leagues. And I know it may not feel like that because he hasn't had amazing production, but this guy has gotten, if you average out his 5 games, he's gotten 21 carries a game. That is a level of – that's what you want from your number one running back, and the production hasn't been there. But with 21 carries a game, he's going to start getting these touchdowns. I mean, the Fantasy Footballers did a piece on it, and out of the running backs that have got that many attempts that haven't been super great for touchdown production this year, he is the one that you can trade for a lot less than you can for any starting running back on an offense of this caliber. So I think you have to kind of just hold tight with him and ride the ship because the touchdowns are coming. If you're getting 21 touches a game and that caliber of a running back, like we kind of expected it to be more of a split backfield than it is, but he's getting all the carries. And I really think that when they get up on some of these teams, he's going to continue to get these carries and that he's just going to get touchdowns. I wanted to talk to you about that because I know you have him, but I think he's going to be a guy that's just going to get better and better as the season goes because these touchdowns have to come, and I think they will here in short order.
No, I definitely agree. I know I have Josh Jacobs, but if you have this much volume on a good offense – because you know they can pass the ball and get close to the end zone. It's just been a matter of it's been in the air more so than on the ground. And Josh Jacobs has played some decent frontline defenses. I know he's played the Eagles and he's played the Vikings. But bare minimum, at 62 yards on 18 carries, he had 10 fantasy points. It's not like it was a bad day, right? So, I mean, league winning's hard to say, but he's a guy that if he does begin to get touchdowns with the volume that he's got, and if he can break away a few of them, because he's not washed, I think he could be huge. So I love that I traded for him. Right now, especially, it's panning out because Travis Etienne's looked awful.
So. Yeah, and I think there's a baseline of 60 to 80 yards rushing a game. And if you have that level of production and you add a touchdown on it, that's going to be like 17, 18, maybe 20 points.
Indeed.
I think he's going to be fantastic because once these touchdowns start coming, his stat lines are going to be amazing. Because I mean, yeah. he's averaging in that 60 yards to 80 yards rushing a game, and if you just throw in a touchdown every other game, that's fantastic. And you, especially in your case, you traded away a guy that's not even playing right now, and if he does play, he's giving you negative 1 point. So I think you made a great trade there. I wasn't super high on Josh Jacobs, but this team looks so good. This offense looks good. I think you're right. It's just a matter of it came through explosive plays over the top. But one of these games, he's going to start the touchdown train, and I think it's going to continue to roll.
Yeah. If you look at the games they have played bad defenses in terms of secondaries. They played the Rams. They played the Eagles. They played the Cardinals. Who else have they played? They played the Titans are a good defense, and the Vikings are a decent defense. But, I mean, that's without Jordan Love. Now they got Jordan Love back. It's a whole different offense. So I think Josh Jacobs only has room to go up. I mean, his floor is 10 points a game, in my opinion. Obviously, it could be lower. But he's even involved in the passing game. So I like that take. I'm for that for sure.
So. Yeah, I hate to say it because I'm competing against you, but if I had Josh Jacobs anywhere, I would be so happy. And if you can trade for him, because Josh Jacobs' owners are probably disappointed with his production so far in the season. If you can trade him for a guy that's maybe overperformed this year, that I think that would be a trade that I would do in a heartbeat. Yeah. And just to touch on this game a little bit more, the receivers all look great. I think we all know who's the alpha here. It's who me and you expected for sure. It's Jaden Reed. And then I think the two option, that's where it gets a little dicey. It's going to be Christian Watson one game. It's going to be Dobbs another game. And then you're going to have Wicks thrown in there too. So,
which he's hurt.
Yeah, and he got hurt. He got a concussion as well. So I think Jaden Reed's a guy you can play consistently. And if you have him, I would even look at getting the Jordan Love stack. I have that in our Dynasty League. And I think you can get Jordan Love for cheaper than some of these top-level guys like Josh Allen, for example. I think you can get him cheaper than that. And if you can stack him and Jaden Reed, they have proved to just be a great combo this year. And then on the Cardinals side, it's been weird. Like when James Conner has a bad game, Kyler Murray does as well. It's so weird. Like they have just correlated with each other. When one of them has a bad game, the other one does too. And without Marvin Harrison, they're kind of fighting an uphill battle here. So I think they'll be fine. I think James Conner is going to be as consistent as he has been. This was just a game where they got down early and they just couldn't climb out of the hole. And James Conner had a bad fumble, so they were kind of mixing in some other guys. And then they fumbled as well. So I think it was just kind of a bad game script for the Cardinals as a whole.
It'll turn around. I think losing Marvin Harrison also changed how they had to play too a lot. Because he kind of went out earlier in the game, I think, if I remember correctly.
And the Packers have a good defense. I think that's kind of thrown away a lot of the time, but they have a pretty good defense.
Yeah, their front line's pretty good. They look decent, but they're not the best in the league, but they still perform well enough. All right, we got two more games we'll touch on pretty quickly. Really, this Texans-Patriots game. Obviously, the Texans did real good without Nico Collins. C.J. Stroud just is that guy. But really, the only two receivers here were Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell. Those are guys that, while he's out, they're going to eat just because this offense is good. Joe Mixon looked fantastic. And I know Damian Pierce, he had 11 fantasy points, but one of them was a big run to the end zone. Like, that's the only reason it's as inflated as it is. I think it was like 50-yard touchdown. So that's a majority of his points right there. But I really wanted to ask you this question because the Patriots are riding it out with Drake May. And I watched this game. Drake May looked really, really good. For his first game as a rookie to play the full majority of this game against a decent team, looked phenomenal. I mean, he threw two picks, but he's a rookie. Who cares? He threw for three touchdowns. And so he even looked good running the ball. Do you think – I mean, I don't care about the running back field right now. Ramondre didn't play. Do you think Hunter Henry – might be a guy to go get. I mean, we got a rookie quarterback here. Looked real good. They're known for throwing the ball to tight ends. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about this as well because I think Drake May is a guy that's going to elevate the players around him, unlike Brissett. I think he can chuck the ball, and he's got a huge arm, and he's just an athletic guy. I think Drake May – over the course of the season. I mean, this is a tough defense to come in and play your first game in the NFL. The Texans are a good defense. And he came in. I mean, I know they didn't win. I know they kind of got blasted. But to be your first game in the NFL, he looked great, as you were saying. He's going to throw for a lot of yards, and he's also going to rush, which is what you like for a fantasy player. So I think he could be a guy that could be a streaming option maybe later in the year if they're playing bad teams. But – as you were touching on with Hunter Henry, I think this could make him relevant because Hunter Henry has all the talent in the world. His targets are so sporadic throughout the games. Like, he can have a game where he's targeted a lot and do well, and then they just won't target him the next game. But I think with a rookie quarterback, he's going to kind of be the safety blanket for him. And I would be looking for Hunter Henry because, like, it seems like we've touched on it a million times, the tight ends this year suck. So Hunter Henry could be a guy in there that just offers you a high floor if Drake May continues to target him as he does. But the guy I was really excited to talk about was DeMario Douglas. I think he's really a talented receiver. And with a quarterback now that can throw downfield, I think DeMario Douglas is going to be a guy that you can possibly play in your flex for the rest of the year. He's a talented guy, and if he can connect with May on these deep shots, I think it's going to be a good season for him. I mean, he had 9 targets this game, 6 receptions, 92 yards, and a TD. If this is going to be Drake's favorite receiver on this team, I think you have to pick him up because Drake's going to be throwing a lot. And if this is the guy he's hyper-focusing on, rookie quarterbacks tend to focus on one guy. And if it's DeMario Douglas, I think the volume is going to be so high that he commands you to put him in the flex if he's going to get this many targets. And DeMario Douglas is a great guy to throw the ball to downfield. And Drake May's got an arm. So if they can connect on some of these deep shots, I think he's going to be a good flex option.
I 100% agree. I watching this game, Bob Douglas, just because of how bad these quarterbacks have been for this team, Jacoby Brissett didn't do too bad, but he's not the answer. He looked really good. He was beating guys. And Drake May threw some balls out there that I was like, dang, for a rookie? Like, that was on the money. So this team has to begin to – you have to look at them with a new lens, honestly. Because now they're not going to be good at all in terms of NFL, like, winning games. But in terms of fantasy, if they throw 30 times a game or 40 times a game with Drake May, and you got one guy he's focusing on, Hunter Henry and Pop Douglas. Or because if Antonio Gibson's in the backfield, he's a receiver too. So I think they're going to pass a ton. So I definitely agree with you there.
And you know who they play next week?
Who do they play?
The Jacksonville Jaguars. I honestly think that this is a game where he can come in and throw for 300-plus yards, and DeMario Douglas has a pretty good game.
At least a touchdown.
Yeah, they might lose. I'm not saying they're going to win the game, but this is a team that is now with Drake May going to be – they're going to be a better offense. They're still a bad team, but it's going to be guys that you can actually be playing in fantasy, which is great for us because the Patriots were kind of a team that you're just like, all right, we're not playing anybody on that team. Their offense sucks. But Drake May, he showed us this game, especially against pretty good defense in the Texans, that he has the potential to be able to support a number one receiver. So I don't know if I would play DeMario Douglas next week, but I would at least – if you're in a struggling position with receivers' injuries, I would at least look at DeMario Douglas for a flex position because I think the targets alone are going to allow him to be put in the flex option.
100%. No, yeah. And the good thing about that is people are not going to be – looking for him, so he's going to be available. He's going to be available. Kind of a sneaky play, too. I mean, it'd be a look stupid, but
don't take him in the waivers.
No, let him go through. Let him go through. I 100% agree. All right, well, I think we're going to call it there today. We were going to talk about Tampa Bay and the Saints, but we will save that for the next pod. We've gone a little long today. It's okay, though.
Hey, we're juiced up. We're juiced up, baby.
We've been gone too long, is what it is. Really.
We're glad to be back.
Yeah, no. Sometimes it's like, man, it's hard to get on here, but I love talking about some football. I really do. Even though me and the Jaguars have the same record, it is what it is, right? Avery can attest to that. But football's still fun. You can't go wrong with it. But we thank you for joining in. Yeah, I mean,
miracles can happen. I was up by 3.9 points with Cook to play, and then he's ruled out. And then my opponent puts in Braylon Allen, who scores 0.8 points. Miracles can happen. You gotta have a happy heart and just keep pushing forward.
Give your fantasy team a pep talk. You know what I mean?
That's and Alex just traded for Jefferson, so he could be on the uptick here. So I mean, a lot of teams have been struggling with injuries, so you kind of just have to ride it out. As long as you can make the playoffs, that's really all that matters, because once you get in the playoffs, records are thrown away. It's just a matter of who gets hot when. So I wouldn't get discouraged. I did it last year. I know it's tough to not get discouraged, but brighter days are ahead.
Yeah, I don't even know what the word playoff means right now. I just want to win. I lost five in a row. So
hey, it's a long season. It really is a long season.
That is true. You forget about it, I think, when you're on the dumps there.
Yeah, and like, you've put together a good team. Just production just sometimes isn't there. So you just gotta keep looking. Make sure you're playing the waiver wire. That's a huge aspect of fantasy football that a lot of people just don't even pay attention to. So just make sure you're on the waiver wire, picking up who's hot, and keep going, boys.
I like this positivity. I like this. Get me hyped for Thursday.
I'm here to hype you up.
Biggest game of the year. 2-1-5 teams go against each other this next week. And it's me and another guy in our league. And let me tell you, biggest game of the season for me. It could get me away from a punishment is what it could.
Well, let me tell you, this Thursday upcoming game is the Toilet Bowl. It's the freaking Saints against the Broncos.
It's a rattler, baby. Rookie versus rookie.
That's going to be a terrible game to watch.
Broncos win that game. Calling it now. Sorry,
Alex. I wouldn't be surprised. The Saints are going downhill. And Rattler playing this Broncos defense, he's going to have a tough day.
Yeah, Kamara's banged up a little bit too, so we'll see how he
plays. Hey, maybe this is a Javonte game.
It's gross.
If this isn't the game, dude, drop him. I don't know. He's gotten every opportunity in the world and hasn't done anything with it. So
It's been bad.
I don't even want to mention his name. He's been hurt.
Yeah, he's on my bench, and I picked him up just in case.
But hey, the rookie coming back, though. Keep your eye out on him.
Audric Estime, yes, 100%. Dynasty, huge piece, because he's a good guy out of college for sure.
And Javonte isn't coming back to this team. He just looks terrible. So look at Audrey. I think he's going to be a guy that he could be relevant later in the season if he can stay healthy. So
they can switch the field.
Yeah, keep your eye on them.
They might change up the backup rotation if it gets that bad.
Lord, we hope so, dude.
Man, dude.
It can't get worse than Javonte.
It could. Alexander Mattison, you know, or Zamir White.
Zamir White, what a fumble, dude. That guy looks terrible.
Terrible pick. Lord have mercy. Well, we thank you for joining on Takeology. Hopefully next, we'll be here Thursday. I know we said we'd be here Saturday, but we weren't here. But we are back for sure Thursday. We'll be on. I believe it'll be me and Avery, so you get to see the beautiful man himself back on the internet, baby. So we'll see how it goes. We'll talk some Steelers that day. But I'm glad you were here today, Matt. Glad everybody joined in. Don't forget to subscribe on YouTube and listen to us on Spotify. Have a blessed rest of your week. Thank you.